Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point. With your host, Dan Rennie.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Before I begin, I'd like to stop to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we broadcast from today. We're in the west end of Brisbane. Also pay my respects to elders past and present. And shout out to all the TOs right across the country where our program goes out to. It's wonderful to have your company. Well, 4AAA, Murray Country, first went to air on the 6th of April, 1993. Next year we celebrate 30 years on air. And we'll be looking back and reflecting on the formation and growth of the station over the years right throughout 2023. Joining me today to have a yarn about those formative years is Paul Richards. G'day, Paul.
Good morning, Dan. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Pleasure. How you been going?
Well, tell us. I woke up this morning feeling not terribly well, but I thought I'll make it anyway. I did a rat test. So I haven't got the COVID.
So good.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to have you back. You're around in those early days and early stages, I suppose, of the formation of the station before, of course, going to air in officially as 4AAA, it was the Murray Hour on Triple Z.
Well, I used to visit the Murray Hour when it was 1 hour, sponsored by 4ZZZ. And Ross Watson was doing it then. And I remember going over there to see what was going on and all that sort of thing. And, you've come a long way since then. In fact, listening to your introduction about respect for the traditional owners and so on, going back to those days, one wouldn't have dreamed something like that would be possible, And I think it's a wonderful thing that everybody recognises the traditional owners now. And in fact, you even see on television, on the news broadcast, we're broadcasting from Gadigal country or Bachelor country or something. And I think that's amazing. I mean, what I always say to my people is that, the progress that Aboriginal people have made in the 50-odd years is amazing, I mean, you go back in those days and say to Pastor Brady or Don Davidson or somebody like that, that sort of thing was going to happen, they'd have probably thought it was fantasy land,
Yes, the acceleration of the movement in the last 5 years in particular has been a real opener for me and for many other blackfellas around, really starting to shift now.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, really. I mean, you got to remember that really in 72 when we started the legal service, the 1971 Aborigines Act was still in force, and that really dehumanised Aboriginal people.
Can you explain to us what that act was?
Well, it was just called the Aborigines Act 1971, but it was the rules and regulations by which they ran the reserves. Which they called them, the reserves in those days. And Cherbourg, by the way, in those days you'd go around somewhere and you'd see written on the wall, CAS, Cherbourg Aboriginal Settlement, which I imagine is probably different now, but there was no allowance for an Aboriginal identity, In fact, I reckon they were still hoping you'd all disappear and die out and that'd be the end of the problem. But on the other hand, I went up to Cherbourg last Friday, it seems like a long time ago, for two funerals, and in the one day, one was Alfie Sullivan, who was a terribly nice fella, and the other one was a woman who was dearly loved and started the Elangey Preschool and all that sort of stuff, and Honor Cleary, she was a wonderful lady too, and then on the next day, I got to chair the meeting for the Kalalee Native Title Group. And it was another thing on the Tuesday, I forget what that was now, but even though I've sort of retired, I still find myself involved in the community activities, particularly, unfortunately, funerals. But also, I mean, like the Kalalee, for example, their annual general meeting of their corporation, which is a prescribed body corporate under the Native Title Act.
Yep.
And they're really lovely to work with, There's no fighting or arguing or anything. They're all charming and productive and have wonderful ideas about things that they're doing into the future,
So you visited Uncle Ross at the Murray Hour. What was What was that like, you know, in those very early days? Can you paint a bit of a picture for the listener of what that was like?
Well, I suppose from my point of view, I was just a visitor, and so there was a studio like you have here. Well, probably not as flash as this, but anyway, a studio. And we'd go and look at him through the window when he was doing the thing, and then we'd have a wave and stuff. And you know, he played music that was, you know, would be appreciated by the Aboriginal community. And also made political remarks along the way too, you know. So, I mean, Ross was an amazing fellow. Did you know him?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he was a wonderful fellow, Ross. Yeah. And Tiger, you know. And their mum. I don't suppose you would have met their mum, but...
Honey Maureen.
Maureen, did you meet Maureen?
Yes.
Oh,
yep.
She was one of my favourite people in all the world, you know. Yep. She's wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. Woman, yeah. Yeah, and as I said, we're, you know, looking back and reflecting on the formation of the station itself, and the growth, as you said, where we've come from to where we are now, and it's all thanks to those old people that come before us. Yeah. Your recollections of the station when it kicked off in 93.
Well, I'm not sure. I would have visited there, but to me, a radio station was like a radio station sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rooms were as flash as this, but they were probably something similar, you know, because I would have only gone into a room to talk to somebody and then left sort of thing. So.
Mm. You've been involved in you know, black affairs for many, many years, Paul, and we mentioned the Aboriginal Legal Service before. You know, you're part of the formation of that some 50 odd years ago now, 50 plus years ago now. What were those days? You know, talk to us about the formation of ATSLS.
Well, it's interesting that these days people take it for granted a bit, I think. And there's also, you hear a lot of criticism. I mean, I don't join in that criticism because it's not my place to do so. But you do get a lot of criticism for them not being as energetic in getting out there and fighting the battle or something. Now, I don't know if they do or they don't. But Aboriginal people have a wonderful capacity for being critical of their own mob. I can tell you that.
Yes,
you may know yourself that.
Yep.
That's probably a... that's the significant thing, I think, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of community orgs, you know, with long-standing histories like, you know, like the ATSLS, like ourselves here. Koori Mail also had a big anniversary recently.
Yeah.
To see the growth of community-controlled organisations is a real... puffs you up with pride to know that these organisations are run well, with good governance and strong history. Yeah.
In fact, some years ago, I went to Uganda.
Mm.
A friend of mine was here when Idi Amin took power, and he became a refugee because he couldn't go home. He worked here in the Department of Primary Industries, and then when he retired, he put his money into building a medical clinic in eastern Uganda. And so he invited me to the opening, the launch of this medical clinic. So I got to speak to 2,500 Ugandans through an interpreter. And one of the things points I made to them was that community control is a wonderful thing, because if a community that it services has got control, you generally will get better service than otherwise. And so the local people said, how did he know that? And I was trained by the Aboriginal people. So. Communities, well, see, in the beginning also, we had some wonderful people on the committee in the beginning, none of whom are with us now, you know?
Yeah.
And they focused us on... You know, you've got to remember, as a white solicitor, especially back in those days, we're pretty green. We don't really have a real grasp of the needs of the community. So we had to rely upon the direction, first of all, from the directors of the corporation. And, I mean, I'll give you an example of the directors. There was a lady named Auntie Janie Arnold. Now, you might have heard of her.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on one occasion, I remember, there was a solicitor whose name will not mention, who had been in the newspapers saying that the kids can sniff glue and there's nothing anyone can do about it because it's not illegal and there's nothing they can do and all that. And Auntie Janie went right off at him. How dare you? Because, see, this particular solicitor used to be the spokesperson.
Yeah, right.
So he'd make the press statements and all that sort of thing all the time. And it's, how dare you go off making press statements on our behalf and saying that the kids can sniff glue because we've got a terrible problem with them sniffing glue. You've got to try and find a way to stop it. You know, and it's just a, and so, you know, because in those days, the solicitor would then sit there like he'd had his face slapped or something. But there are a lot of examples like that where they'd give us direction, somewhat fiercer than you might have wanted, you know. But,
yeah. Community-controlled legal services, community-controlled health, you know, and the radio station itself, you know, the importance of black media, in your opinion, Paul. How important is it to have a community-controlled black radio station?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even from the beginning, Rossi made that work, you know, that it was to serve the Aboriginal community and to give messages to the non-Aboriginal community about what should be done and how it should be done and all that sort of thing.
Did whitefellas, do you think, come on board from the very beginning, or did it take some time for whitefellas to...
In the beginning, I think, well, a lot of us whitefellas were floundering a bit. We didn't really know what we were doing, but we wanted to do something good. So it was quite easy to find ourselves taking instructions from the Aboriginal community and the directors of the corporation. But I mean, I think there were times when they could have been tougher than they were. But then, you know, I mean, if you ever met Don Davidson, for example, you heard of him.
Yes.
He was a very fierce man.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's a funny story. He was quite powerful physically, as well as personally. And so years later, we had a meeting in 78 or something at Farah. And we had Bill Hayden, who was the leader of the Labor Party at the time, and Paul Keating, who was his junior, his deputy. And we were meeting with Don Davidson, and I forget who the others were, but we were sitting around talking like that. And the way it was interesting, because Don Davidson and Paul Bill Hayden started talking about the old days when Bill Hayden was a policeman in Ipswich. And, of course, Don Davidson was from Ipswich, and they used to have big brawls between the Andersons, the Davidsons and the Thompsons. Used to have huge brawls up there. So.
Mm.
And on one occasion, Bill Hayden was trying to break up a brawl, and Don Davidson punched him and knocked him out. And he never charged him. Never charged him. So he was sitting there having this little chat, and they were joking about this story and all that sort of stuff. But what was really interesting was Paul Keating, he sat there and listened. He didn't say much at all. He didn't ask much at all. He just listened. He let Bill Hayden do the running because Bill knew people. I was very impressed with that. And in fact, I like to think that that was the kind of the impetus in his motivations behind him doing his famous Redfern speech.
Mm.
You know, because it didn't come from nowhere, and I reckon it's probably festered in time over all that, because I clearly remember that day he said very little, but he listened very carefully, you know.
Paul Richards, we always appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge and wisdom with us. Anything final you wanted to add before we wrap up for today?
Well, I didn't come very well prepared, so I probably...
That's all right, you've been unwell. We sympathise with your sickness there, and we thank you for coming in, and I'm sure we'll yarn to you again in 2023.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Lovely to be here. And again, I've got to say, it's wonderful to have a Murray radio station that gets the Murray message across. You know,
Thank you, Paul.
Congratulations.